After standing so long, you may be seated. I thought, as I entered this week, that I would be able to preach all eight of these verses tonight. But Brother Ron, I got to studying, and my message was 50 minutes, amen. And I always condense it, amen. I said, well, we can't add another 45 minutes to that, amen. People will just fall right over in the pews, amen. And so we're just going to look tonight at these verses, verses 32, 33, 34 and half of 35, amen. And we've entitled our message, and you U of M fans will appreciate this, The Faith of the Victors. The faith of the victors, amen. You remember in our last lesson, we talked about the faith of Rahab the harlot. And we talked about how she had had a sinful past and how she believed God. She started her faith with the Word of God and the fear of God and believing God. And then she served by faith. And listen, boy, I'll tell you what, faith without works is still dead. Amen. Boy, if you've truly got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit living inside you, you'll want to do something for Him. Amen. You say, I don't know exactly what to do. And sometimes we're like that. Amen. But there'll be a burning, a hunger to want to serve Him. Amen. And she did serve. She also stumbled in her faith, didn't she? You know what she did? She told a lie. And listen, there's nothing right about a lie. And all God's people said, nothing right about it. But let's remember, she was a Canaanite harlot who just got saved. Amen. And we talked about it. We've all had stumbles in our faith. Somebody please say amen. We've all stumbled. We've all failed God. Amen. But something else we learned was the settlement of her faith. God rewarded her faith by delivering her from destruction. You know, all else of Jericho perished, except for Rahab and her family. Amen. She was delivered from destruction. Something else I love, she was given a place amongst the people. It says in Joshua 6:25 that Rahab dwelleth in Israel this very day when Joshua was written. You know what else? Probably my favorite part of the story. She not only was delivered from destruction, she was had a place amongst the people. I love this. She was a giant of grace. When you read the genealogy of Christ, you'll find a man's name named Salmon. And he married Rahab. And they had a son named Boaz. And we took the time, and we'll not go too long, but Boaz, if you read the book of Ruth, and it's a precious book, the little four chapters of Ruth do so much for you, the romance of redemption, amen. But Boaz made it his business to protect helpless women. Where do you think he learned that? Miss Perry, I think he learned it on Rahab's knee. She said, you be kind to young women. Don't you use them and abuse them. You be kind to them. You take care of them. You're a man. You're going to grow up, be a strong. I love that. She's a giant of grace. You know, grace is a stumbling block to the Pharisees. Why? Because they think they're good enough. They don't need grace. They're good enough. I'm fine all by. Listen, you take Rahab the harlot and you take John Q. Citizen who pays his bill, and without Jesus, both of them go to hell. Amen? Rahab, she's a giant of grace. Something else, she's found amongst the faithful. She's listed here in the hall of faith. Amen? Thank God for that. Well, tonight, examining verses 32 through 35, look at verse number 32. It says, and what more shall I say? And I appreciate the Apostle Paul's next words. It sounds like every preacher at about 11:55 on Sunday morning. For time would fail me to tell of. And he begins to listen. So number one tonight in our outline, and we have only two out of 5 points tonight. Our 5 points are these if you want to write them down. I know some of you like to keep an outline. The great characters of faith, number one. The great exploits of faith, number two. Those are the two we'll be examining tonight. The great unnamed others of faith, we'll look at next week. The great trials of faith, and the great end of faith. The great characters of faith. What an honor it must have been for these to have their names eternally written in God's hall of faith. I think about that. When I met my friend Gary Bykirk for the first time, And he's, of course, going to be with us again. Be inviting folks to that. That's in August. I believe it's August the 12th, Sunday. But I remember the first time I met Brother Gary Biker, and he's a Medal of Honor recipient. And I got to looking and doing some research, and the Medal of Honors are the nation's highest award for military bravery. It's awarded by the President in the name of Congress. For this reason, it's often referred to as the Congressional Medal of Honor. Since its first award in 1863, 3,467 individuals have been awarded the medal. Currently, as of this week, there are only 81 living Medal of Honor recipients. That's a pretty exclusive club, folks. Amen. And I'll tell you what, no one can receive the Medal of Honor for following an order. You know what you have to do? You have to go above and beyond the call of duty. It's only awarded to those who exhibited exceptional acts of bravery beyond the call of duty. And the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is God's Medal of Honor recipients. It really is. It's the those that did extraordinary things. And folks, how did they do it? Every verse, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You know, Abraham, I'm sure he was a great man, but he did things by faith. Amen? But listen, you look at these characters, and a lot of them you could find fault with. It'd be pretty easy. But I appreciate the fact that God, in this great hall of faith, didn't talk about their faults. He talked about their faith. Faith. We've looked at Abel, who, he being dead yet speaketh. We've looked at Enoch, who had this testimony that he pleased God. We looked at Noah, who moved with fear. We looked at Abraham, who, not knowing where God was sending him, went. We looked at Sarah, who gave birth at 90 by faith. And all the ladies said, amen. We looked at Isaac. We looked at Jacob. We looked at Joseph. We looked at Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, though they're not named. We looked at Moses, we looked at Rahab. By my count, there's only 16 people mentioned in this great hall of faith. 18 if you count Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. Verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell?" And then he goes on and lists a few people. We'll just talk about them tonight. Gideon. Gideon was called by God to deliver Israel. Go, if you would, back to the book of Judges. Go back to the book of Judges and verse chapter 6, please. Judges chapter 6. It's a great story. And just a little background. It's always very interesting. The book of Judges follows a circle. God's people sin. God judges them, usually with a foreign nation. Then they repent. God raises up a judge to deliver them. And then they fall right back into the same circle, just over and over in the book of Judges. Something also very interesting when you study Judges, when these nations come in to oppress them. I'm going to move over here, lest I get a little political. The first thing they do is disarm them. That's the first thing they do. They beat their swords down. Got rid of their swords. Beware of that. Amen? Amen. Beware of that. Here we find Gideon, and he's called to deliver Israel. Look at verse 12. Such a great passage of Scripture. It says there, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Chapter 6, verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" So here's Gideon, and he's behind the threshing floor, and he's threshing the wheat so the Midianites won't see him. And God sends his angel and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And he says what most of us would have said. Me? Are you talking to me? You must be talking to somebody else. I'm hiding right now, God. No, he said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. Hey, by the way, the Bible still says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called, not many mighty, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I heard a story years ago. There was a man in New Jersey. He pastored two churches. He would preach at one in the morning and then he would preach at another one in the evening. And they were two, Brother Boston, of the largest churches in the country, both of them. And he had a big evangelist come in. And the evangelist got to the hotel room and the phone rang. He picked it up. This evangelist who'd preached all over, seen great revival campaigns, got on the phone. And the man called his name. He said, preacher, this is Brother Pastor. We're going to have a great revival tomorrow. And we just want to let you know when the service starts. And he got all done. He hung up. And that evangelist walking in his hotel room, walking around going, we're going to have a great revival tomorrow. We're going to have a great revival. He said he got there the next morning. Place was packed and jammed. 20, 25 people saved in the morning service. Went to the other church, packed and jammed. 15 people saved. Got down on his knees, asked God to forgive him. He said, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. You know, God is still calling the mighty and the noble. They're just not answering. God's ringing their phone, amen. And so here's Gideon, and God says, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of God. And God does use him to deliver the Israel from the Midianites. And if you study Judges chapter 7, God comes up with a great military plan. There's 32,000 Israelite men ready for war. And God says, I only want 300. So now here's this mighty man of valor. Amen. And it's 300. And then he says, you know what? Here's your weapons. 300 trumpets, 300 pitchers, and 300 lamps. We're going to have a great revival. Why did God do that? I'll tell you why. That no flesh would glory in his presence. Nobody could walk around with their spiritual puffed chest and said, we defeated the Midianites. Oh no. The sword of the Lord and Gideon, amen, defeated the Midianites. And God used Gideon in a special way. Oh my, how simple faith that led to obedience. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope as we go through Hebrews here and as we move into James next fall, Lord willing, we would see this. Faith leads to obedience. Faith leads to obedience. You look at these great characters of faith. They simply believed God and did what He said. Can you sum up the Christian life? Fear God and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes says. Listen, know that it's God and do what He says. Well, we have Gideon. We have another. We have that judge Barak back in Hebrews chapter 11. God used him to deliver Israel from the mighty and oppressive hand of King Jabin of the Canaanites in Judges chapter 4. You can read it. It's a great story. I love the story, Brother Becker, of Sisera and going into the tent and that lady that put the tent peg right through him. I heard a preacher preach one time and it's all nailed down. Amen. He preached on that text. Barak did a great work for God. How did he do it? By faith. How about continuing on there? This is the next one. It says of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson. Samson. You know, I think we make the mistake of teaching our children that Samson was some kind of strong man. Some big giant of a man. I don't think he was. As a matter of fact, I think he might have been like, we're going to have a great revival. Amen. A little tiny person. I think he might have. Why? that God would get the glory. God used him to break a 40-year stranglehold that the Philistines had on Egypt. And what did he do? Well, according to Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, he tore a lion in two. I don't know about you. If I saw a lion, I don't know if I'd run, because I don't know how much good that'd do. I'd probably get next to my side. I think I probably would. Amen. But I know I wouldn't tear him in two. Amen. Samson just tore him up like a piece of paper. You know what else he did? It's amazing. Judges 15:15. He slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. 1,000. Imagine that. I love one of my favorite story of Samson is when he carries away the gates of Gaza. Judges chapter 16. They're lying in wait. They're going to kill him. And he literally just walks up to the city gates, picks them up and carries them away. I can't imagine that. He slew 3,000 in his death. How did he do that? Faith. Faith in God. Was he perfect? No, Samson was a mess. He had a lot of problems. His biggest problem was worldly women. Worldliness. But he did great things by faith in God. See, it's God that wants to use us as vessels. Vessel. You know, the vessel isn't anything. I appreciate that, what Pastor Miller said about the fork. Amen? You know, the fork isn't anything, but it sure puts the good food in, doesn't it? Listen, I've eaten without a fork before. It's not pretty. Especially when I'm done. Amen? It's all over my hands. And No. You know, God wants to use us. It's not us. It's just being usable. Being in a place where God could use us. Samson. Then Jephthah. Jephthah, you find his story in Judges chapter 11 and into chapter 12. God used him to deliver Israel from the Amorites. And then we have David. And of course, I could think of two great instances of David's faith. We mentioned one this morning when he met Goliath and he killed him. And he didn't just stop there. He picked up his sword and cut off his head. Wanted to make sure, amen. And he had great faith. And he said that too. He said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear. I can't come to you in the name of the living God." Listen, no earthly way David defeats Goliath. No way. But what do we call an upset in sports now? We call it David slaying Goliath. How did he do it? By faith in God. By faith in God. Another time I could think where David exercised great faith was in his conduct with King Saul. You see, after David slew Goliath, Saul's little singing group said, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s." And Saul got that green-eyed monster of jealousy. And he got to looking at David with a skewed glance. And several times, he tried to murder David. And you know what it says over and over and over, Brother Curry? It says, "And David behaved himself wisely." Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to behave yourself wisely. David exercised great faith. I think of Samuel, great prophet and judge, and I'd like to say more about each one, but time would fail me. Amen. Let's look, if we could, at verses 33 through 35, some of the great exploits of faith. It says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms." Just a couple quick characters, and there's more. You know, you could do a sermon on each one of these statements. When I think of somebody that subdued kingdoms, I think of Moses. The kingdom of Egypt, Moses subdued it. He did. I think not only of Moses, but I think also of Joshua. How they went into Canaan land, and just like God said, they drove out the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and all the otherites. Amen. They subdued the kingdoms, walked around the walls of Jericho, and they fell flat. Great exploits of faith. Can I say there's an application here for us? Subdued kingdoms. It's important to recognize here that there are kingdoms that are subdued. They were the ones that prevented the people of Israel from entering into their rightful inheritance. We've been given an inheritance, folks. You know, it's still up to us to subdue the kingdom of the flesh. Amen. How on earth can I do that? My flesh rears up against me. It fights me all the time. By faith is the only way we can do it. I could turn over a new leaf. Won't last without faith. I could fill in the blank. Hey, we're going to have to subdue some kingdoms by faith. There are powerful enemies seeking to harass and hinder us, and they must be subdued. They subdued kingdoms. You know what else they did? They wrought righteousnesses according to the verse. I always think, when I read that, of Elijah on Mount Carmel. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, yea. If Baal be God, yea. Let's have a contest and see whose God is really God. Let's dig an altar, and the God that answers by fire, let Him be God. And of course, the priests of Baal, all they're yelling and shouting and cutting themselves, and Elijah mocked them. Said, where's God at? Where's Baal? Where's He at? Maybe He's on a journey. Maybe He's sleeping, and peradventure He must be awakened. It doesn't seem like He's listening. They got all done. Elijah built the altar. Said, pour the water on the wood, pour the water in the trench, pour some more in there, because God's going to answer. And he prayed a prayer, and God answered by fire. He slew all those false prophets. And you know what it says in verse 39 of 1 Kings 18? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You know, faith is the only way to have personal and corporate revival. It's the only way. Wrought righteousnesses. How many men have prayed and prayed and prayed by faith that God would work? And maybe God didn't even work in their lifetime. But God's still answering those prayers. They wrought righteousnesses. They subdued kingdoms. Love this one. They obtained promises. Did Abraham and Sarah not obtain the promise when they had Isaac at 90 and 100? And all God's people said, they obtained the promise. Amen. Did not Abraham see Isaac delivered and obtain the promise when he was ready to plunge that knife in? Did not Moses see, obtain the promises as God told him to go to Pharaoh each time, let my people go or else this will happen, and he saw it happen. He obtained promises. Did not Joshua bring Israel into the promised land? We just talked about Gideon. He defeated the Midianites. Obtained the promises. Hey, are you reading the promises? Are you claiming them? Are you obtaining some? Amen? I tell you, I am. I'm blessed. When I look at that, I think of just the promise for the tither. God says, He said, bring me all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. He said, prove me. See if I will not pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to... Listen, if you're a tither, you're obtaining that promise. Amen. There's another one in Luke chapter 6. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Obtaining promise. They obtained promises. How did they do that? Through faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. We just talked about Samson. Of course, we think of David. David killed a lion and a bear when he was protecting his sheep. But of course, who's the one we mainly think of? Old Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Dropped him in, and the king was so distraught. King Darius, I can't believe I signed that. I can't believe what I did. He said, Daniel, is thy God able? There's Daniel walking around in the lion's den. And Mr. Perry, I think they were skinny and hungry. And I think they look like this. I think their mouths were, they were ready to pounce on him, but they had the protection of God on him. Stop the mouths of lions. I don't know. It's not in there. Amen. I guess I could suppose. I think maybe he took the biggest lion and said, go ahead, big boy, lay down right there. I think I'll just go to sleep right on you. Amen. Who knows? We know this. He stopped the mouths of lions. How? By his great works? No. By faith. By faith. Stop the mouth. By the way, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Hey, you know how you can stop the mouth of that lion? By faith. By walking in faith and pleasing God and dwelling under the protective arm of God that He gives to His obedient children. What else did they do? They quenched the violence of fire. Can't help but think of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, amen. That fire didn't even touch them. And I love what it says afterwards. It says, and they didn't even smell of smoke. I heard an old preacher say, that's better than most Baptists, amen. Didn't even smell of smoke, amen. What else? They escaped the edge of the sword. Three times, three different people that happened to David. That happened to David with Goliath. He escaped the edge of the sword. Then it happened to David with Saul. He escaped the edge of the sword. Then it happened to him again, but with his own son Absalom. He escaped the edge of the sword. How did he do that? By faith. By faith. Out of weakness was made strong. Does not that say that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 of Sarah? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Think about that. Gideon, that mighty man of valor that was hiding, out of weakness made strong. God delights to do that, by the way. He just wants us to trust Him. He just wants us to trust Him. He wants to use us to accomplish the impossible. Not just the possible. Not just, by the way, lost people do the possible. Amen? If you've ever been to a big city, never forget going to New York City and walking around and going like this. And almost tipping over. And Brother Boston, the buildings, you couldn't see the top of them because the clouds were there. Did you know lost men built those buildings? They did. Lost men. See, any of us can do the impossible. God wants us by faith to do the impossible. Did He not say if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'd say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it would? Why? Because we're so great? Because we're so holy? No. Because God's so great. Because God's so holy. Because God has a will that He wants to be accomplished in our lives. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Two times thinking right away. Exodus chapter 17 when Israel fought the Amalekites. And you remember the story of Aaron and Hur lifting up the hands of Moses. And when Moses' hands were up, Israel would win. When they fell down, Amalek would win. He turned to flight these armies. I think of the army of the Amorites in Joshua chapter 10. And Joshua's fighting and all of a sudden he sees a great shining figure in armor. And he says, are you for us or against us? And he says, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I believe that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that day that the sun stood still. And there was never a day like it. What happened? They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How? By faith. By faith. And then lastly, it tells us, and I love this, it says, women receive their dead raised to life again. The widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah raised her from the dead. And then, of course, the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha raised her from the dead. You know, I love the story in Luke chapter 7. There was a widow at a place called Nain. And she was not only a widow, but her only son had died. And you'd have to know the history and the importance of that. This poor widow had nothing and nobody now to take care of her. Huh. But Jesus passed by. He just touched, the Bible says, he touched the bier, the coffin. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. You said, oh, he could have done that for sure. He was the Son of God. I understand that. But he exercised faith in his Father while he was here on earth. He did it by faith. He listened. The great characters of faith, the great exploits of faith. God wants to use us to do great things. You know, if God uses you to see somebody saved, there is no greater thing. There's no greater thing than that. There's no greater miracle than somebody getting saved. How do we do it? By faith. Do you know, sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, all the time. When I go to doors, me and Keith went yesterday, had a good time. That's me when I go to a door. I have to tell my legs, stop it. And then somebody comes to the door. I say, oh, and I'm not talking to myself. I get scared. I get nervous. You know what I just do? God, please help me. Please help me. God, I want to please you. There's people here that are lost. Please help me to talk to them. Give me the words to say. Hey, listen, God wants to use us to do great things. God used these ones in the Hall of Faith, and they're an example to us. They show us what faith can do. They show us what faith can do. Father,